Let me tell you something. It is the will of God that you walk in the gifts of the Spirit. As we feed on the Word, His sight become our sight. God calls you as you are, but He doesn't want you to remain the way you are. There can be passion in prayer. When the spirit of prayer comes upon you, there's passion in prayer. That door has been shut. What you need is stamina. There are doors that you need to keep knocking at.
Your life must change on this mountain. This is a mountain of power.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Chidi Ayoba. As you listen, be blessed.
Are we blessed? And will we be blessed more? Yes, glory to God. Romans chapter 10, let's look at it from verse 9. Thank you. What does it say? That he that shall what? Confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt what? Believe in the heart that what? God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So two things. Number one, confess. Number two, believe. Alright. Verse 10, what does it say? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's something I said last week very clearly. That the character of God that you cannot see in salvation, you cannot see it anywhere else. When you see the character of God in salvation, this is what you see everywhere else. I don't want to open your eyes to something this morning. Should I open your eyes? I want to open your eyes because I want your Christian experience to literally take a new turn in this walk of faith, in this mastering faith, correct? Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter what, guys? And the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter what? Pastor Gideon, Hebrews chapter what? Thank you. Hebrews chapter 11. Alright. From verse 1 to 3, what does it say? Now faith is what? Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders what? Obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that things which are not, were made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand that the Bible is not the book of definition. So it was not like the writer of Hebrews was defining faith. Rather, it was explaining something within a context. Glory to God. So it's not saying that what is faith? Faith is substance of things hoped for. Oh, the evidence of sin not seen. Actually, that is what faith is, but this is a particular context. And I want to open your eyes to something. Now, in the grand scheme of things, what was the writer of Hebrews talking about? Bible student, what was he talking about? The faith of what? Faith of, I didn't get that. Of the patriarchs, right? And that's the faith of what? He was talking about, in the grand context, the faith that brings salvation. You must not forget that. Amen? But at the same time, it was talking to us about how we can actually apply faith also. Amen. You know, there's the faith for salvation, and it is that same faith that we have. I told you that every one of us have a measure of faith. Is that very correct? There is no Christian that is faithless. Say, oh, I don't have faith. That is not true. You have faith because you are saved. Can I get an handkerchief? I think you should have known by now. There's one in my bag, so you can bring it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright. So, but there was something he also started to point out. And I want to open your eyes to that thing. Look at Hebrews chapter, the same 11 verse 13. Let's read what it says. 11 13, what does it say? This all died in what? In faith, right? Not what? Having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And we are what? Now, the Bible says that, did they receive their promises here or they did not? What did the Bible say? They received or they did not receive? Look at your Bibles. Did they receive or they did not receive? They did not receive, right? The Bible says that received the what? But they died in faith. That sounds very weird. that there are certain persons that died in faith and they did not receive promise. I thought when you see people die, they are not in faith. For by our own definition, by our own, you know, the knowledge and whatever that we have had, when we hear that, oh, people have faith, we expect that they are alive and they have the substance, right? They have the evidence. Why am I using this language? They have the proof, right, of what they have believed for. But these people, Bible says that they did not receive the promise. And Bible says that they were in faith. That is so odd. That is not what we've been taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you listening? Now, go to another verse, that same place. Go to verse 17. What does it say? By faith, Abraham, thank you. So, he's already pointing out somebody to us so we can check him out. Now, let's go. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offer up Isaac, and he that what had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Abraham had what? He received the promises. They said, you know, they had mentioned Abraham before, and they said this all died without receiving the promises. But now they are saying Abraham received the promises. Stay in one place. What are you talking about? Did they receive the promise or did not receive the promise? Should we still look ahead? Let's look ahead. Are you with me? Look at verse 33. What does it say? Verse 33, what does it say? Who through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. What did they do here again? They obtained promises. But what was now, what were they talking about in verse 13? Can we look at one more place? Let's look at it. Look at verse 39. What does it say? And these, all having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise. Obaton. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I think so, brain. Gen Z's will probably not understand. This cartoon is for millennials. If you don't understand it, let me see your hand. See them. Gen Z's. If you understand it, let me see your hand. See them, old people. You don't know it. It's okay, it's okay. Should we tell them? Let's not tell them. It's not for them. Glory to God. Now, the Bible is saying in some places that, oh, these guys received the promises. At the same, you know, in the same breath, say they did not receive the promise or the promises. So what exactly should we believe? And this is where big picture and quote unquote small picture comes in. Let's look at the example of Abraham that you talked about and let's understand what exactly it means by either he received the promises or he did not receive the promises. Should we do that? Now let's go. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. From verse 13. Are you there? Are you there, guys? Now what does it say? For when God made what? Promise to Abraham. Oh, thank God we'll be able to see it here. Now God did what? Made promise to Abraham. Then what happened? Because he could swear not, he could swear by no greater, he swear by who? Himself. Verse 14. Saying, surely blessing I'll bless thee and multiplying I will multiply thee. Are you seeing God's promise? So he swore by himself and he said, I will bless you and I will multiply you. Verse 15. And so after he had patiently what? Endured. He what? Obtained the promise. So the Bible is saying here too that he what? Obtained the promise. Are you with me? Now let's read further. What does it say? For men verily swear by the greater and an oath for what? Confirmation is them end of all strife. Verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heir of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19, what does it say? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter within the veil. Verse 20, without the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, in this place, we are seeing how many men? Men, oh men, men. How many men? We saw Jesus. I mean, we saw Abraham, right? Rather, then we saw Melchizedek. Now, the Bible says that God promised Abraham, right? In saying, in blessing will I, in multiplying will I. And he said he obtained that promise. Did he say that? Yes. Now, we now saw Jesus, who is a man, hope you know. Then we now saw Melchizedek. Now, what is the relationship between Jesus and Melchizedek? High priest, right? What is the work of an high priest, Jesus? Or what is the work of the high priest, Jesus? What work did he do for us? He sacrificed and saved us. Is that a promise that God also gave the patriarch? Yes. Correct? Now, this is a promise. Now, did they see Jesus sacrificed in their time? Did they see Jesus sacrificed in their time? But did they believe in that promise? Was it a promise of God? Did they obtain that promise? No! They died not obtaining that promise. But you see, the promise that was an anchor to believe the promise, they received that part. Those are the two things talking about. Are you paying attention? They received, you see, God, I told you last week, is in the business of convincing us. So even while he's saying that this particular thing, it will show you lines upon lines, time upon time, the evidence of things he had told you to hope for. That's why he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, title deed, of things not seen. Now, for Abraham, even some time where, he was believing, quote unquote, God for Isaac. The suffering of things were for the evidence of things not seen. No, it's not looking like anything. But do you know that when he received Isaac, the faith, the assurance about the coming of the Lord Jesus, do you know that it is settled for him? Because God that is able to do this, and how did God even show him further? By telling him to sacrifice Isaac, tell him that this is how Jesus will be sacrificed, your only son. Are you understanding these things? So that was the title deed that God gave him for salvation that they did not receive at the time they were alive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So indeed they died without receiving the promise. But they also received the promise in that he had Isaac physically. When even though Sarah's womb was dead and his own body was also considered dead. Dead, dead everywhere. But God promised him. He said, I will bless you. I will multiply you. Talking about his seed, but there was no seed. So that looks like two things. Number one, I will give you a seed, but I don't have any child and we are old. Now again, another promise. You see, the same way I will give you a seed, the only begotten son. That is how another begotten son will come in the nearest future or wherever it is at the time. And then he will now die for sin. If I give you this one, you can be sure that that one too will come. Are you hearing that? And so he was waiting. And then eventually he had Isaac. So he received the promise, right? Without receiving the promise. Are you getting that? Is that very clear? I'm saying this to say that, see, there is the faith of God in salvation. And there is the faith of God in your walk with God. Daily life. Just like how them Abraham, they had faith in their walk with God. Example, Isaac. They also had faith in the salvation of Jesus. Salvation. Clear? Is that clear, guys? So two things can coexist. Two truths can coexist. Say, oh, we already have faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's no more. Ah, you are shortchanging yourself. Because the walk, that's why we call it faith. Oh, I mean, the Christian faith is called Christian faith. It's a walk, and it's a faithful walk. It's a walk that you need to walk by faith. And so it is so weird when a believer is not walking in faith. Because that is what saved you in the first place. Oh, I'm just sick. Oh, I'm just sick. Oh, I'm just sick. Are you a believer? Oh, I'm just sick. In fact, the doctor said, I just have 3 months to live. Oh, I'm just sick. Let me just be writing my will. You don't wonder, say that this person is not a believer or is not taught well. Now, does it now mean that, even the people that are taught well, even with quote unquote believing, sometimes, according to you, they do not die. Of course it happens. But we hear what you say and we know if you're a believer or not. For a believer is hope against all hope. There's something called hope against all hope. And the Bible says that that was what happened with Abraham. He said he had hope against all hope. That is, his body dead. Sarah's womb dead. Yet, he still believed somehow. Why? He judged God faithful. Now, do you understand where we read just now? He said, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. What was that two immutable things? Number one, the promise. Number two, the oath. It is a different thing. So, I promise you. It is another thing when you say, I promise you, will I lie? You not say, come. For you to know that I promise you, I swear by myself, aya. Because there is nobody higher than God. For you, you will say, alone. Right? But God cannot say alone. He can only say, me. Amen. So God did not just promise, he swore. He said, ay, kai. How can God swear to a man? Say, wallahi, muma bless you, and he say. God, you know, God's word is solid enough for you to believe. He's God, he cannot lie. If God said, this is what I will do, that is what he's going to do. But he now says it, he's now swearing. No wonder it's called too immutable. Do you know what it means to be immutable? It means this thing, immutable things. You know what mutation is now? Mutation means something to change from one chromosome level to another chromosome level, biology. So when they say, oh, mutation has happened, it means that, chromosome level has changed. Mutation actually is change in chromosome level. And all of you should did biology. Hey, say biology. How many chromosomes are present in the male? How many chromosomes are present in the female? Abi? Type of chromosome. You have X chromosome and Y. Now, if you bring XY chromosome and you change it to XX, what does that mean? It has changed. Right? That has changed. Something has changed. That's what all these gay people could make sense. They are trying to mutate themselves. Amen? Now, if you bring XX chromosome and you add Y, has it changed? Yes, so that has changed because that has become a male. There are 23 chromosomes in human being. Abi? So it's 23 times 2, X. 23X. Now, for God, there is no mutation. What is it? It is what it is. If you are a male, you are a male. If you are a female, you are a female. You are not heterosexual. Amen. I hope I'm preaching somebody. Person is not here. It's probably online. Because I don't expect that you are doing it. No, not in this church. Hallelujah. So, God does not change. What it is what it is. If he says it, he has said it. How be it? God did not just now say it. He now swore. How many of you covet that? Me, I don't covet it. Why? Because it's what is enough for me. What God says is what you done. God, you don't need to swear to me. You've sworn in Christ. Abi, and you've done it. King Motufe. That thing is done. But peradventure, God appeared to me. Let's say Jesus, and he swear to me, I'll be happy too. But I don't need it. I believe his word. His word is immutable. He said two immutable things, right? His word is immutable. And it is impossible for God to lie. Brethren, tell them about promise here. You can take it to the bank. Now, do you hear that we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, Abi? And the evidence of things not seen. That evidence is also called, now it's a legal term. How many of you are lawyers here? Is there any lawyer here? Oh, thank you. So, Bryce Tapola? Title deed. Please give him the mic. What is a title deed? So, let me explain. Because sometimes, not understanding a word, it makes you not understand what that scripture is saying. Please, can you go ahead? What is a title deed?
The title deed is.
Ha! Ewo Mbrokola.
The title deed is a document that shows that you own landed property.
Okay. So it's a document that shows I own a landed property. If I do not have it, what does it mean?
That means you are not the owner. Or you can't prove that you are the owner.
I can't prove. So somebody can just come now and say, they are the owner.
Yes.
If they have the title deed. But it's my father that owned the land, though.
You have to prove it.
But it has been a generation from generation.
There's another way.
Okay, tell us.
So you show the line of inheritance of the land. So there's something called epitome of title. It basically shows all the transactions.
Owners.
Yes. So this person gave it to this,
this person.
So you must have at least for 40 years, 30 years.
That is patriarchal evidence.
Yes.
Henry Bible. You must have patriarchal evidence that this person, Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, these are people, right? Or you have the title deed. Now, let me ask you a question. If I have patriarchal evidence and my title deed is lost, is with somebody else, what now happens between me and the person?
The title deed is with someone else.
And you said, I don't have title deed. Maybe somehow, somebody had a document. Maybe it was stolen. Does that... Or does patriarchal evidence also equal to title deed?
Not necessarily. It's just another way of proving. It's like a traditional way of proving.
So what if somebody has a title deed and I have the patriarchal evidence?
Because of the system, land system, it's possible that title deed will have more power.
Chenget. Thank you, Bro Bola. Are you understanding these things? Do you know that you have a document in your hands for your life? Everything you will ever be, everything you, whatever it is, do you know you have a title deed? You don't know. This is your title deed. This is the evidence of every single thing that God has said about you. So Thomas Okponi title deed. Ah, are you a believer? You are not from our lineage. You don't have patriarchal evidence. Amen. Thank you, Brock Paula. Are you understanding these things, guys? These scriptures, this Bible, is our title deed. Now, hope you realize that it did not say that, oh, you are carrying the land everywhere you go. Now, hope you know you can carry your phone everywhere you go. But you cannot carry a land everywhere you go. What you can carry is what? The evidence everywhere you go. The title deed everywhere you go. For even if at any point you go on top of the land, you say, this is my land, this is my land, this is my... It does not mean anything without the title deed. Are you understanding these things? The title deed, in summary, is weightier than the physical evidence of land. If not, I'll just go to anywhere now and say, this is my own, this is my own. Maybe we should talk in it. I'll just say, this is my own, this is my own. So are you saying that what is written, what is spoken, it is first of all more important than what you are saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you have evidence that something is written. It is first of all, it is more important than, oh, I'm just saying something. Oh, I'm confessing. Ah, what is going on? I am healed, I am healed. How do you know that you are healed? Well, I just believe in God that I'm healed. If that kind of person, God forbid, died of that sickness, don't blame God. The person does not have a title deed. For it is in God's word. You must stay. See, I'm challenging you this morning that you go back and dig God's word out. For that is where your life consists. Faith is not faith without God's word. Faith at its best is just hope. You are just, it's a feel good thing without God's word. So I told you last week that you cannot just come up and say, oh, I just have faith in God. Did God promise you? Was it a promise? If it was a promise and you had the evidence, then congratulations. But if God did not promise you, you cannot colombi God to do what he did not say. God is only responsible for what he has said to you. If he did not say it, he's not responsible. You can't treat God. God is not a man. God is not your fiance. Say, you said, I never said, you said, you actually said it, not yet. That is not God, though. He's not a man. You know, you can use Ogboju for our spouse. I know, but say, but let's still go. God doesn't do all those kind of things. He's not your fiance, amen? He's not your husband. God is God. And he's bound by his word. Hallelujah. That you do not believe does not mean he did not say it. But guess what? You must have physical evidence of the land. I mean, that title did. And let me now say again, once again. You see that paper, like Brokola has said, is more evidence than the physical land. For you must have your paper. Are you now understanding when the Bible says that things that were not seen, I mean things that are seen, are made by things which do not appear? Let's go back. Chapter 12, verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews, in case you are wondering. Are you there? Verse 3, what does it say? Through faith, we understand that the words. We are framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. You know that is so weird. Do you know that is so weird? Because in the world, what we say is that I say I believe. I've seen it, I believe. In the faith, it is we believe and we see. It is the opposite entirely. We do not walk by physical carnal evidence. We walk by the word evidence. The evidence that you cannot touch, but it is. Can you see God's word? Can you see God's word here? But guess how you are made and all the host of the things that you can see. The things which you cannot see. Those are the things like light, be. Sun, be. Earth, be. Water, be. How can I just say earth, be? And, you know, that is why scientists, crazy ones, were not the ones that are correct. Or crazy. They couldn't understand what you're talking about. Because it just has to be the big blast. There has to be something that made something. You cannot just say something came out of nothing. Are you understanding this rationale? That's why they are not in faith. Because faith says nothing, something. They say something, something. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. And so when we look at the lives of the patriarch, we can look at them and say that there is something specific about their lives. There is something that is bringing all of them together, and that is seeing the invisible. Open your Bibles very quickly. Let's go back to that Mark. Or before Mark, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 17 to 22. Are we there? What does it say? As it is written, here I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called what? Those things would be not as though they were. Somehow I heard somebody say yesterday that we do not call those things that be not as though they were. It's God that does it. Amen. Okay. Does God call things that be not as though they were? Yes. Do you call things that be, even if it is stupid things, do you call it upon yourself? Is that what you call upon yourself? You can't even convince me because I've gone through situations in my life that I had to be saying things that God has said and I've seen the result. What is that called? Calling things that be not as though they were. You are same. Be as your father. Amen. My Lord, verse 18, what does it say? Who against hope believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall what thy seed be. And be not what? Weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith and giving glory to God. Verse 21, and be what? Fully persuaded that he that had run promised he was able to perform. Now, the question is, how were the people that received the promise, how were they able to receive the promise from what you just read? Being what? fully persuaded. They were persuaded about what was written and what was spoken by God, which is what was promised by Him. So your persuasion comes from what God has said. You are fully persuaded. Now, again, remember last week we said there's something called I believe, but Lord, help down my unbelief. You might actually believe, but there's somewhere in your heart that a lot of things are just going wrong. Be very quick to submit your heart to God's word, because that is where persuasion comes. Amen. God's word, in God's word is where persuasion comes. You don't have any other proof. You don't have any other document. The document we have that you need to find out, you need to search out, is in God's word. Or rather, is God's word, and those promises are where? In God's word. So once again, our alignment with God, with His word, it is what actually produces the proof. I mean, the physical proof of what we have believed in. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget, the things you say must be in tandem with what you believe. What you believe must be in tandem with what God has said. Don't say what God has not said. Don't tell us that, oh, and I believe, oh, did God promise you? Hallelujah. Where can you find His promises? Where can you find God's promises? Where can you find God's promises? Some of you don't know. Ask the person beside you. Ask them so that you hear what is. Ask them. What did they say? Now ask them that, have they been searching His word? Let them answer. No rhetorical question. Ask them. Have you been searching His word? What did they say? Some of them said yes, some of them said no. Nobody said no. You, have you been searching His word? Hey! Guys, you must bury yourself in these things. You must bury yourself in these things. You see, there are go-to scriptures that you must have. I'm telling you this. There are scriptures that you must have that must be go-to. Go-to, like, if they wake you up, it seems to be go-to. Okay, I think it was on Wednesday when we were talking about the things that God had said and faith, right? Somebody was asking that, how do you have, what they ask again? What Bopita asked, how do you have, what did it say? And that word that we usually use, note of victory. Yes. So he was asking that, how do you have note of victory? And, you know, I emphasize to you that, see, the ultimate note of victory is in God's word. That you are praying on Shatong. You are praying about, see, the end of your prayer is that you want to hear. The end of your prayer is not, God, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Otilo, nothing has happened though. Amen? That's if you read Mark 11, you will see that, Mark was talking about praying and having faith, right? You believe in your heart. Then decided to talk about whatsoever you want. Let's go there. And as we close, Mark. It's actually here written, so Lushkuku go there. Mark 11 from verse 20. Are we there? What does it say? And in the morning, as the world passed by, they saw the fig tree dried from the root. And Peter calling to remembrance said to him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou wast cut, oh Lord, is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Do you have faith of God? Do you have the faith of God? You do, because you have believed. Amen. Say, I have the faith of God because I'm a believer. Say it again. I have the faith of God because I'm a believer. One more time, say, I have the faith of God because I'm a believer. Say, I don't struggle to go and look for faith. I have the faith of God because I believe in Jesus, that He died, He was buried, and He rose for my sins. Hallelujah. So do you have the faith of God? Do you have the faith of God? So is verse 22 fulfilled in you? So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Now let's backtrack. He said, the tree that you caused has withered. He said, at the face of God. Ah, what's just trying to say? That they should look at you. Hey, get here. When they were surprised that the fig tree that Jesus said, no man will eat of you. So, ah, this tree, what you said has happened though. Then I say, ah, it's not weird now. There are some certain people that say things and it happens. Who are the people? The ones that have the faith of God. Are you hearing me? Have the faith of God. You know, they were struggling with faith or no faith in chapter 9, right? Here, he's not telling them that have the faith of God. Now, what does he say to them next? Because this is the whole package of faith together, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall what? Say, who is the whosoever? Is there whosoever in the world? Whosoever who? Now, did he say some of them or whosoever? Whosoever too? Missoever. I'm part of the whosoever. Amen? Are you catching that? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart. Now, do you have the faith of God? And so, that doubt is common for you. It's not your natural state. Because you have the faith of God. So it's like saying that whoever has the faith of God shall say to this mountain and it shall happen. Are you understanding that? Now let's go. What does it say? I shall not say that, but shall one believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have what? Whatsoever. So whosoever shall have whatsoever. Now let's read the next verse. What does it say? Therefore I say unto you that whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe ye have received them and ye shall have them. So you must understand how this thing happened. You are praying, right? If you are praying, you have something in mind, correct? Now when you pray, what do you expect to happen? That the Lord says something to you, correct? You desire something. Then the Lord speaks to you. As God speaks to you, what happened? You believe that which he has said. Amen? When you believe that which you have said, meaning you don't have doubt in your heart, right? Then you say it to that thing. You must understand that you are not speaking about the problem. You are saying to the problem. Let's assume you pray about the problem. That is fine. You know you can pray about anything. So you pray about this problem, you pray about this thing. And then the Lord says something to you. Then what do you now start to do? You now start to speak to the problem. This mountain, this opposer. Amen. You pray about, you speak to. After praying about, and there's assurance in your heart, that is, there's no doubt, what do you now start to do? You start to speak. Was that the same thing that happened in salvation? Yes. The Bible says that with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there is divine enablement of faith upon your heart. Then there is confession upon your lips. The same thing, when you go into prayer, the Lord speaks to you. You believe, then what do? You start to speak. So ye, this is how to master faith. That as you have prayed, indeed you're fasting and prayer. The Lord has said something. If the Lord has not said something and you are confessing, I don't know what you are doing because the Lord did not promise you. Where can you find his promise in his word? So it is, see, it's always a weird thing for me when I see believers praying and they not once go to God's word. Like nothing was inspired upon your heart. Then what are you doing? What are you listening to? It's just like what, bro, what's David? David was saying, you know, when is it? Don't let me cast you. But you know, your mind is just thinking, Amala, Guguru, everything. In prayer, especially because you are praying in tongues. Your mind is everywhere. Your heart must be fixed on the Lord. Kill your long face. Lord, what does he want to? Because something must come upon your heart. That is what you will now start to what? Profess. Are you hearing me? That's why you keep saying hope against all hope. And will you see it come to pass? 100% yes. Hallelujah. Your confession is as important as your prayer. Amen. Your confession of God's promise is as important as the prayer you prayed. You must keep saying it. Like Pastor Chris will say to us. He said, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. He said, when you will go to the, he said, you tobati damu, what should you do? You keep saying it. It's very correct. 100% correct. those things that actually last, the things that make you unwaver, actually, the major thing, the main thing that make you unwavering, that in the midst of storm you are standing, is God's word. It's not the things you have seen anywhere. It's that power that you saw. That God has said it, that is it for you. Even if you do not see it in 100 years, like the patriarchs. You know, I'm so glad that the Bible talk about that they did not receive the promise. Because you must understand that God's word is firstly beyond the things you can see physically. So though I do not see it, yet I believe. For certain things for an appointed time. Certain things for an appointed time. Even though I do not see it, I will not blame God. I trust God. Suppose so. Be very simple with God's word like that. How many of you, in the process of this fasting and praying, God has said things to you? Honestly, no. If God does anything to you, no, don't go and be lying. God has sent something to you in this fasting and praying. Let me see your hands. A few of us. You see, this is what God has said to you. Take it to the bank. It is very true. It will yet come to pass. Do you know what you are now going to do about it in mastering your faith? Write them down. Write those things down. I was telling, sharing something with Pastor Gideon recently. That during, prayer convocation 2024. You know, we spend time praying, and we prayer convocation, of course, you pray. And then at some point, you know, you see, I'm not an advocate of Jelenke prayer, you know by now. When you are praying, you pray. Amen. Until you lay hold. See, most of the time, Peter, some, like we shared, some certain note of victory comes by release. It comes by, some of it is not release of real glory. Some of it comes from in shedding of tears. Like you just that point you get to, the shedding of tears, the groanings of the Spirit of God from within you. And at that point, I've told you before in this church, that at that point you don't stop. You keep pressing until you know that you know that you know. That release will be so very sweet, as though you have entered into something else. At that point, most of the time, if you have observed, you have been there, God's word will start to come to you. Amen? How many of you have been there? God's word will start to come to you. That is the Lord speaking back to you. So His word is coming to you. His word is coming to you. And that was what happened in prayer convocation. I'm just using this example. It happens all the time. 2024. And you know, I got home. And then prayer convocation ended on Sunday. Then on Monday, we joined morning prayers. And still in the fury of answered prayers. And oh God, thank you Jesus for His word. My eyes opened, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I can't forget. And then the fury of, oh God, what has come and the rest of it. Pastor Perry was leading prayer that morning. And then as he started to lead prayer, all of a sudden my eyes opened and I saw the vision of an angel, you know, coming behind me. And he was walking towards me. I was sitting down. I was not sleeping. I was praying. And he walked behind me. And then he dropped something. And then I saw him. He just went to the back this way. And then I did not see him. He didn't turn his back. So I didn't see his back. I was only able to see his front. And then he went away. Kalego Batiata. Two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. Amen. It was as though that word was brought alive even in a vision that was so real. Open vision. And you know what I did? I told Pastor Gideon, I took my diary. I said I had to write those things out that had been said. I wrote, including what the angel did. Teobali confession me. Teobali okosi confession tiye. Ikupai, because they did not promise you. Say, maybe I wrote something like, oh, and God is taking me to Morocco. Or you people don't want to go to Morocco. Okay. Let's say Morocco. And then he's taking me to Morocco. And then I'm standing before the king, Kiniko Kiniko, and I'm saying all those things that God has said to me. You should not come. And I'm standing before kings. Did God tell you? Imagine Abimelech carrying the confession book of Abraham. Are you the father of many nations? Are you understanding these things? Because that is how some of us behave. You confess and write things that God did not tell you. See, I'm challenging you and telling you that from today, in your prayer, open your ears. Let the Lord say things to you. And you say those things, basile. And every day, every night, until you see it come to pass. I mean physically, because that thing is your title deed plus God's word. Albeit it is God's word to you. So you confess and keep saying it because that is specific for you. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. And definitely to substantiate. Can you lift your hands and thank the Lord for this word?